2 weeks ago, we began a series that we call Balanced. And the reason that we call it Balanced is, well, it's a known fact. Everybody knows this, that in order for you to be healthy, you got to have three things. You got to work on your heart. You got to have some aerobics. You got to do strength training. And last week, I impressed you guys with my strength and my biceps, if you guys remember that. And the third thing we talked about was that you had to have balance. So three things for to be healthy. You need heart health, you need strength, and you need balance. And your body will be in equilibrium when all that happens. And we all know that that's true, not only in being physical fit, it's also true in every area of your life, from eating. In order to eat healthy, you got to have a balanced diet, and you got to have a mixture of all this. And, you know, some people talk about don't eat carbs and all that. Look, as a person who loves carbs is your friend. Just don't eat too much of it. But it's all part of a balanced diet. And it's true in every area of our lives, including our personal finance. And so this series is really about how to be healthy financially. And the reason why we're doing this series because is an overwhelming number of us are unhealthy financially. We are, and we know this because really the research shows it out. In 2015, there was a survey done by the American Psychological Association that said that 90% of us are stressed out because of finance. 90% of us are stressed out. Some because they got too much, and I know that's probably most people in here. But for the one or two people who's not suffering from just too much money and like, I don't know what to do with all this money and how am I going to invest it and all that, for the rest, for the 5% who that may be, you're stressed out because you don't have enough. You don't know how you're going to make ends meet. And not only that, not only are 90% of us stressed out about that, but I saw this other, let's see my clicker here. Well, Shakira's going to have to be my clicker this morning. Go to the next one there. So there's another study that says that 25% of our thoughts in a given day, on average, is about money or things related to stuff that we need to buy and can't. 25%. So for every 4 minutes that you're thinking, one in those 4 minutes, you're thinking something about money. And we think about that more than anything else. The only other thing that comes really close is work. And the reason why we work is we don't do it for free, right? So the reason why we work is because we want money, right? See, because I wouldn't do it for free, even though I like what I do. And so at work, I like what I do here, do it for free. So the reason is when we're thinking about it, because we're really living under a weight of debt, and we're in really what we call slavery. And it says here that rich rules over the poor, borrower is slave to the lender. King Solomon said this. He said, hey, there's something that I observed. By the way, whenever you read the Proverbs, it was really Solomon writing down the things that he observed in nature, in society, in the world. And King Solomon used to sit down and just like think about stuff that people just go by. And he was like, you have observed that when you borrow money, you're a slave to the lender. And when you're rich, you rule over the poor. And so, and as I said last week, God is in the emancipation business. He wants to emancipate you from financial slavery. And this series is not really, it's not a prosperity series. Rather, it's a series about simply realizing financial freedom. It's realizing economic freedom because God does not want you to be in bondage. It's really a series about peace of mind, and it's a series about experiencing the very thing that this church was founded to let people know, and that is to help people experience a better life. And that's really what it is about. So we want you to experience a better life. So if you're here and you're new to PC, you haven't been here for the past couple weeks, I strongly encourage you to go back, because some of our series, I tend to, you know, we go deep into the Word. The last one where we talked about the devil, we went deep into kind of his origins and stuff. This series, our desire in bringing it to you was to give you some things that you could hold on to and literally go out and put that into your life. So I'm going to invite you to come on a journey as we go through this series. But in order to set up today's meeting, I have to give you a quick recap if you weren't there. So we said that in order for you to be, remember, physically fit, you need to work on three things: strength, heart, and balance. And so I did. I'm going to take off my jacket again because, you know, it's hot. And it's not that I don't like to wear jackets. Not like want to guys show you guys my biceps or anything like that. But it's really, it's just hot. And last week, I did a little exercise. And I don't know how many want to do a little isometric yoga exercise with me this morning. I'm going to do one. If you're up to it, you can go out in the hallway because you're going to need to stretch a little bit if you want to do that. But here's a different one than last week. It's called a chair pose. A chair pose is literally you put your legs together and you sit. You sit, right? You sit, and you sit as low as you can go. But this is a little bit different because what you want to do is clasp your hands together like in prayer mode, and then you're going to stick your leg out like this, and then you're going to close your eyes. And you do that for a minute. And if you're really good, you can do like squats. So, I'm not going to do it for a minute because I don't have time. It's not that I couldn't, but you guys would never know that. But the reality is that in order for you to have balance, we say that you need three things. Number one, you need to have a clear objective. You know, you need to know, what is it? Why am I doing this stupid pose just sitting down there like I'm in a chair without a chair? And it's because, in this particular case, you want to be physically healthy. The next thing that we said is that you have to have concentration. If I try to do this and I try to look around, literally it's impossible. And you know, there are all these distractions that's going to come up that if you look around at them, if you take your eye off your clear objective, what's going to happen is that you're not going to meet your clear objective. You will fall. You'll fall. You'll get off balance. And the third thing that we said is that it needs constant correction. I would show you these wonderful calves. I'm not. But what happens, and when you go home and try this, and you do this, you'll see that every tendon in your leg, and you see I'm not concentrated on doing this, so I'm like a sailor. Every tendon in my leg is moving back and forth as my body does these shifting, and it keeps shifting positions in order to do it because my body is saying I need to constantly correct. And things are going to come up that you're going to have to make some adjustments. And, you know, if you're really paying attention, what will happen is that the corrections that you have to make won't be really grand adjustments. And if Sean is in here, I'm going to ask Sean if he could get this clicker working for me. And so we said we want you to try that. I want you to go home and I want you to try some isometric yoga exercises. It's actually good for you. And you may be saying, what does that have to do with anything? I didn't come to church for an exercise. I came to church to hear something from God. And the fact is that it's really just an illustration because I do not believe that there are separate lives that you have, that I have my work life and I have my church life. I, you know, God is interested in every area, and God is orchestrating, and he sets some instructions down for every area. And God is like really into this balance thing. And last week I shared with you a passage of scripture that we all know very well. It was really said all over the Bible, right? And, you know, and Jesus himself said it also. You know, he was asked, what's the most important commandment? And in that, number one, I'm going to start with really kind of reverse order. And he said God's order for perfect balance in every year of your life is that, number three, I'm going in reverse order, you got to love yourself. Right? Because God, you are God's handiwork. You're God's special creation. You're beautiful. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you don't love God's creation, then something is wrong with you. You got to love yourself. And anybody tells you that you shouldn't love yourself, by the way, it's not the greatest love of all. All right, don't listen to Whitney. All right, so, but it's number three on the list. But you could say it's number two because number two is that you got to love others as much as you love yourself. Right? But the reason why I put that as number two is because left to our own devices, we'll flip this order around. So I kind of put it as number two. And that permeates every area of your life. And number one is this, that you love God and you love the things that he loves. We have a term that we have. We call it the kingdom agenda. And one of these days, we're going to sit down. Well, we're not going to sit down. You're going to sit down. I'm probably going to stand up. And we're going to talk about the kingdom. We're going to talk about the kingdom and what God's kingdom means when the Lord's prayer says, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's deep and some powerful stuff. That's for another day. But these guidelines, we broke it down into three things that God says, this is what you need for financial freedom. And you guys remember I said three things last week. And I shouldn't do this because I know nobody remembers this stuff. But there are three things I said. Number one, you should, see if you guys remember this, give. Second one was save, love. Give, save, love. Give, save, love. Can you guys say that after me? Because I want you to live. Sorry, not love, live. Well, love too. Give, save, live. You say it? Come on, let's say it one more time. One more time. And that's the priority order. I never want you to forget that. If you want to be in perfect financial equilibrium and in balance, you got to observe that. Give to God and to others. Save something for the future and live. Live. So last week we talked about the message was called first thing, which is give. So today I got really creative, and our message this week is simply called, let's see what it's called this week. My clicker? Let's see, my clicker is working. Oh, my clicker is not working. Where's Sean? He's like, oh, Sean. Sean, I'm going to like toss the football to you. And giving is really about seeking first the kingdom of God. But as I said, last week we talked about giving as the first thing. Shakira, can you get my slide there? And so I got really creative. Last week's sermon was called the first thing. This one's called, go back. Here we go. It's all in my hands. Let's see. Let's see here. Wow, Sean, it's your touch. It's literally called the next thing. The last week was the first thing. This week is the next thing. And so somebody may ask the question, why save? And if I ask you that question, you're like, well, that's a stupid question. Why save? The answer is obvious, is it not? And the reality is that the answer is not so obvious, because it was so obvious, we would do it. We would do more of it. And so so either people don't believe it, or there's some other reason why they don't. I'm going to answer the question, the risk of telling you stuff you already know, because you guys are all like really smart people. And I'm just going to put it out there anyway. Number one is this. Take care of your family. The reason why, one of the reasons why you save is to take care of your family. And in 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul says this. Well, it's like, if you don't, he's telling Timothy, it's like, you know, anybody who doesn't provide for their own family, and especially for those family members who live in their house, the family members, they might as well just not be a Christian. They might as well, the King James is like an infidel. Yeah, every time I think about that, I think of Cuba. But he's worse than an unbeliever. And I think about that, and it says, like, God is like saying some pretty heavy-duty stuff here that says, look, taking care of your family is a pretty big deal. And you save because there are things that are going to come up that you need to take care of that your monthly paycheck can't cover. Like, at some point, you're going to need a car. At some point, if you have kids, you're going to need to do something with college, maybe, you know, help with college or whatever your thing is. And there are things that's going to come up that's going to exceed your monthly or your biweekly or whatever paycheck, and so you got to save for that. Pretty obvious, right? Well, another reason is you got to prepare for the future. And Proverbs says this, as Solomon says, he says, a wise man thinks ahead, but a fool doesn't, even brags about it. A wise man says that, I know that there's going to come a day. Thank you, sir. You're a good man. is hot. And I can't take off anything else. A wise man knows that there's come a day when they're going to be too old to work. And they're going to want to retire. A wise person knows that. And by the way, you guys may not know the statistic. And you can tell I love numbers. Numbers tell a story. It doesn't tell the entire story, but it tells a story. It tells part of the story. That statistics says that each person, the average person, will be involuntarily unemployed 3 times in their lifetime, between the ages of 20 to 65, somewhere around it. So you could have just moved up from Jamaica or Honduras or wherever you move from, and you're looking for a job. So I want to be employed, but I'm not employed. So that's one thing. Number two is that you could have gotten laid off. Your company went through some financial trouble. Or number three, you could be simply, messed up. Somebody didn't like you, whatever. You got fired. Average person, 3 times in their lifetime, will want a job and don't have a job. Right? And so with respect to that, a wise person says, I need to plan, because I can't just think that I'm going to beat the averages. And the thing with that is that a fool says that, I'm just going to spend today, man. I'm going to live it up. They have the nicest car. They're always changing cars. They're doing all this stuff. And they're like, man, like, you got to live a little. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Suppose you could die. And hey, that's a fool. Folks, I told somebody yesterday, I didn't write this. I just reported it. The third reason is to provide financial freedom. To provide freedom. And the thing is, it's really freedom is debt-free living, because we already know that the borrower is slave to a lender. But here's another verse that I want you to kind of think about. The plans of the diligent leads to profit. That simply word there, profit, means abundance and plenty. The diligent person thinks about and they plan, and they plan and they execute their plan. They have what? They have a clear objective. They have concentration. And they make constant corrections. And it leads to an abundance. It leads to plenty. And when you have plenty, when you have abundance, guess what you have? You have freedom. You have freedom to invest more. Not in yourself. You have that too. But you have freedom to invest more in other people, in that kingdom agenda. And there's a guy, his name is Rick Warren. You might have heard about him. He wrote a book called A Purpose-Driven Life. In A Purpose-Driven Life, he talks about how to live this life of purpose. That's why it's called Purpose-Driven Life. And Rick Warren, he's a pastor of a church, Saddleback Church in Orange County. He now tithes 90% of his income. 90. He keeps 10%. He has always practiced tithing. He's always practiced giving. He's always given above 10%. And he's just made giving a priority in his life. As a matter of fact, he paid back his church every dime that they've ever paid him. And he is living. In his last book, he says he's still trying to afford a particular vehicle and he can't afford it. But he's like, I'm good. And that to me is really a huge key, right? To be able to just, can you imagine what it is like to just have abundance where you can just tithe 90% and still live? Think about that. And haste leads to poverty. If you don't have any plans, you're like, I'm going to get everything now. It leads to poverty. So it leads us to the reason why we save is because it just makes sense to do. So our first priority, remember, give, save, live. Give, save, live. Give, save, live. Give, save, live. So the second priority is saving. And some of us get that all messed up, right? We put saving as a first priority. We're like, man, I got to save first. I got to save first, because when I get to abundance and plenty, then I'll be able to do it. And if you save first, if you prioritize saving above everything else, you know what that's called? It's called hoarding. And God has given us resources to deploy for his kingdom agenda. We need to deploy those resources. If we don't deploy those resources, somebody once told me that, you know, money is like manure. If you pile it up, it stinks. But if you spread it out, it makes things grow. And you gotta like spread it out, and you know, and you see, when you have a kingdom agenda, priority is different. But when you have a hoarding agenda like this, you know what happens? You're robbing God, number one. And you're robbing others of the blessing that God gave you to share with others. And not only are you doing that, you're robbing yourself. Because if I had, let's see, I don't know what's inside here. I got 10 bucks. And I got 10 bucks. I got 20 bucks. Let's just pretend that these are $1,000 bills for a second. And I got these. And somebody says to me, hey, can you give me, let's imagine that they are many bills. You see somebody in need. And somebody says, hey, you helped out that person. I got you. And you hold this and it's like, nah, because if I give that, I won't have this. But when your hands are closed, it can't be open to receive anything else. It's just literally closed, and all you have is what you have. But you never get what God's blessing is, and you're robbing yourself from doing that. And really what it demonstrates is that we don't believe God. Because God's made some promises, and we don't believe God. And talk is cheap. But the second thing is that can't even take it with us. So it's like we're holding up because we brought nothing in this world. We can't take anything out. We're going to leave the same way we came in. We're going to, they could dress us up. We're still going to leave the clothes behind. And that's it, you know, that, and so, you know, and that's why God says, hey, look, when you go by my priority, you're literally sending on ahead. You're sending off. Some of us here will get to heaven, and you know, we're gonna get to heaven, and we're gonna have like a crown. We're gonna live in a little hut. It's always gonna be walking around with some big old jewels that our head can't even hold it up. Big old mansion, because we send it on ahead. And how do you send it on ahead? Storing up your treasures in heaven, where nothing can touch them. And so, some people have the problem with hoarding, but then other people have a problem. They have a problem with saving last, not the right priority. They give, live, save. And or they may live, they may live, save, give. The issue is that they're living before savings. And just like how that's called hoarding, I call this golden. The people are like, well, what is a goad? Well, it's not like a goat, it's a goad. Goad means to stimulate. And what we're doing is that we're stimulating our appetite, our appetite for stuff. And the interesting thing about appetite is any one of us know, and I know this from Thanksgiving, you do not satisfy your appetite by eating more. Because all that do is make your appetite bigger. Right? I ate so much and people at Thanksgiving, people were like, could you eat more? I'm like, man, I can't even take a prayer. But then like a half hour later, I'm like, wait, what's the dessert? And guess what? The following morning I woke up, I was hungry all over again. And so when we have an appetite for stuff, And we're like, fill it with stuff. We're living. You know what we just want to do? We want to live more and more and more and more and more. More and more. And what happens with that is that we end up in debt and we end up in bondage because we had a misguided priority of living before savings. And that really becomes a never-ending cycle in the three Ds that leads to financial debt. It's like death, D-A-T-H. Is discontentment, debt, DBT, and domination. And God doesn't want you to do that. And so really, whether you know, are you golden or hoarding, it's really about my greed today or tomorrow. And I heard a person say this once. He said, greed is the assumption that it's all for my consumption. And so the proper priority is give, save, live. Give, save, live. you save live. God, that's your goal. That's your objective. That's your clear objective. How can I give, save, live? How can I give, save, live? Give, save, live. I'm going to hammer that into your head that you're going to remember that forever. Give, save, live. And I'm actually going to add one more thing to it today. And so the only way to do that is that you need a budget. You need a budget because you need a clear concentration and you need to have a focus. And a budget allows you to focus. And the thing about a budget is that you don't set it and leave it. You set it and you adjust it. As things come up, you make minor adjustments. You make constant corrections. And so I'm going to highlight for you today some guidelines for a budget. Now, I want to stress this because in case people don't hear me correctly, I want you guys to really hear me and understand it. What I'm going to tell you today is really a guideline. But individual mileage varies. In other words, your individual situation will vary. And we have people in this church who have a ministry, they have a gift of financial wisdom, and they will help you. One of it is Hazel Danso. Hazel has managed, hundreds of millions of dollars for different municipalities. She knows about budgeting. And Patrice McFarlane. If you guys want, just ask anybody in the back of who are these ladies, and they'll help you to budget appropriately. So the numbers I'm going to give you today, there's some guidelines. If you can do better than that, you should, right? If you're doing less than that, this is about making a priority to get there. And so the key to budgeting, at least the budgeting strategy I'm going to give you, is pre-decision. You got to pre-decide how much you're going to give to the first. And basically, what is it? Remember I tell you? Give, save, live. Give, save, live. I want you to remember this. 10-20 rest. It's like, what's 10-20 rest? I'm glad you asked because I'm going to tell you. Give, save, live. 10-20 rest. Give, save, live. 10-20 rest. Come on. Give, save, live. All right, let's do it one more time. Give, save, live. All right, there we go. And that's going to become really important. Your goal is to give 10% to God and others. Your goal is to save 20% of your income, and you live on the rest. And as your income goes up, that 10%, you can raise a percentage. You can't manage it by the dollar amount. You got to manage by the percentage, right? And so give, save, live, 10-20 rest. All right. I'm going to ask you 2 months from now, give, save, live. All right, there we go. And so, what to do with that 20%? I'm going to give you some guidelines, really practical. And the way that I've outlined below, if you do this, the risk of getting too financial, because all this is biblical principles, right? We talked about that earlier. This is just practical implementation of biblical principles. Is that if you do what I'm saying, in 20 years' time, you can live for 20 more years without ever having to work again. If you do what I say, what I suggest, you can live, and you do it for 40 years, so you're younger, you can live with the same lifestyle and never ever touch your principal, your savings. You're just living off the profits. Abundance. Remember the plans of the diligent lead to plenty? And if you do better than this, then your numbers change, right? So if you do 10-40 rests, let's just say pick that up, you cut the time down in half. And so, and there's some assumptions, Matt, I can tell you, it assumes some things. But I want you to think about that, right? If you're 20 years old, it don't matter how much you're earning, it's talking about maintaining the same lifestyle. If you're living off X number of dollars, and you can maintain that same lifestyle if you do the 20% the way I'm going to suggest to you. So, here's some practical. I want you to take the 20% that you're saving, and the first thing that I want you to do is, by the way, that 10-20 rest does show up again. Fancy that. I want you to do this. Your first priority in your 20%, by the way, and I'm I'm going to talk about, well, what if I don't have 20%, right? So we'll talk about that in a second. Is establish an emergency fund. It's for those things that like come up that you didn't really budget for. And now, this now I'm talking about real dollars. So it's three months of your salary you want to have saved up in an emergency fund. By the way, this stuff, people like go to school to tell you this stuff. You come to PCC, you get it for like, just like wow. If you earn $60,000 a year, which is the average, the median salary in Broward County, if you earn $60,000 a year, that's $5,000 a month, right? 5 times 12 equals 60. That means that your first priority is to try and get $15,000 in the bank. The second priority is establish money that you're not planning on touching at all. It's another 3 months' salary, so another $15,000 if you're earning $60,000 a year. You're earning, I don't know, $6,000 a year, just do the math, right? It's all the same principles that apply. And the goal with that is you never know when you're going to lose your job or, you know, or something's going to happen. Because remember, the average person three times in their lifetime is involuntarily unemployed. And so second priority, and you hear people tell you that it's good to have 6 months' salary in the bank. Well, there you go to your 6 months right there, right? So the next thing after you do that, and this is all with your 20%, right? You invest in something that gets you more return than your bank account. Because your bank account, and next week I may show that to you, what happens when you put your money in the bank only, because you need to put your money in the bank, is like a mutual fund. And Patrice and Hazel can talk to you about that. But it's just really put in a little bit of money. And you can be extremely conservative with that. Right, where you stand very, very little chance of losing it. Or if you're younger, you can be a little bit more aggressive and change your numbers a little bit. Again, they'll help you with that. So that's your third priority, because now you have really a year's worth of savings. Right? And so after that, you want to make sure, from the start, you should be having a portion. If your company matches X amount, you need to make sure that you're at least investing the amount your company is matching, because some companies match 100%. That's just like free money. So that's just baseline. You know, that's even before priority one, to put the money in 401k, your baseline. But this is maxing it out. Just max it out as much as you can go, right? And then fifth priority is, now I'm saying accelerated debt payment. By the way, I'm going to ask you guys for about 10 more minutes. All right, thank you. If one person said, all right, the rest of people are like, child. It's like, I don't include debt payment in savings. That's part of your living. You know what you did when you accumulated debt? You lived before you had money to live. So when you're paying that debt, it's coming out of your living, not out of any of this, not coming out of your savings. But so that's your minimum payment. That comes out of your living. Right? That, because we really shouldn't be living ahead. We should be living behind. But that's extra money. You want to knock out those bills and pay extra money on top of those bills. After you have, say you got a year backed up, just like put everything that you can into knocking off the lowest balance amounts, highest interest bills first. And then number six is you put aside some money for some special projects like a car or something like that. And by the way, very rarely is getting a new car a better deal than fixing your old car. I'm just saying. You know, we normally keep our cars 10 to 12 years. The last one was, I think, was 13 or something like that. And it's not because we couldn't get another one. It's just that, like, why? Right? Why? You know. So anyway, that's it there, and I can send that to you if you want to do with that. And it's hard to do because of where we're starting off, right? It's where we started off. You know, it's just really, really hard to do. So here's another guideline for you, because I couldn't tell you all of this in all these slides. Number one, give, save, live. No matter what it is, if you say that I only have 3% that I can spare, when I look at everything else, I've lived, for whatever reason, some of it is you know, it's not your fault. You know, parents didn't have money, you had to get student loans to get through school. That's an investment of sorts. But say you're like, geez, if you think you want to save 3%, make sure you're saving 1%. I mean, you're giving 1% and saving 2%. You should, the guideline that I tell people about is that your saving shouldn't be more than 4 times your giving. It actually should be less than that, but maximum. So if you're saving 4%, you need to be giving at least 1%. If you're saving 8%, you need to be giving at least 2%. Not make sure you don't come out of equilibrium. The closer you make it to twice is actually better, but you know, people are starting at a different place. The important thing to do is to start and pre-decide, and I'm going to do this before I live. And that's hard. That's really, really hard, because there's, here we go, these three C's again. Because sometimes we lose sight of our objective. A lot of times, sometimes we get like depressed, and so I want to shop. Right? You drop. And we take our eye off our objective, and it requires, in order to maintain the 4-to-1 ratio or the 3-to-1 or 2-to-1 ratio, that's on whatever it is, you gotta have a concentration. And you gotta make constant corrections. Like, oh snap, this month I gotta dip in. I gotta spend a little bit more. I can't save as much this month. Make a correction. You know, and the hardest thing to do in those three C's is to maintain your concentration. So in the last few minutes that we have left, I'm going to talk to you about how well do you maintain your concentration. How to maintain your concentration. Number one is this. You got to control your appetite. You got to control your appetite. There's always stuff to buy. And you know, and my parents and my grandparents, they never, my dad, man, my dad believed in like fixing stuff. I'll use Donna's dad. He's like the poster child for this. My father-in-law probably could have a vacuum cleaner that's like, you know, was made in like 1930s still working. They don't upgrade. They fix. We don't even wait till things are broken. We just upgrade. It's like, what? You have the iPhone 7? That's 2 years old. That was a conversation we had last night. It's like, what's this dinosaur? Got to control your appetite. And you got to be aware of your triggers. I'm just going to speed through it. The triggers to trigger your appetite. For example, if I love chocolate, I got to not put chocolate in the house. If you have a problem and you love packages showing up at your door every day from the UPS guy, do not get an Amazon Prime account. Makes it too easy. If you like sprinkling pixie dust on food and thinking it's going to make you lose weight, don't watch late night commercials, because you'll buy stuff. I saw this thing. A friend of mine bought it. He said, sprinkle this powder on your food and you'll lose weight. I'm like, and he bought it. I'm like, what are you doing? If, you know, every one of our houses look perfectly fine until we go to somebody else's house. It's like, snap, you can have that. Don't go to Marlowe's. Invite everybody to your house. Practice delayed gratification. Part of your control your appetite. Do not impulse buy. Let me tell you, Gary Wallace, this one, practice delayed gratification. I live by this. I have a philosophy. My wife will tell you. Any deal that's good today should be good tomorrow. And if it's not good tomorrow, then it wasn't good today. And unless I have planned for it and I waited till the right time and then the deal came. It's not an impulse purchase. It's a planned purchase. No impulse buying. You plan it. And learn some new habits. Pastor Donald shared this with me this week. I'll just read this to you. If the reason why you're buying something is because I deserve it. If the reason is that I'm buying it, well, it's on sale. But it's not something that you use regularly. I had a friend of mine who bought a jet ski. like, why are you buying jet skis? She was like, I got a great deal on it. I'm like, what are you going to do with a jet ski? It's cheaper to rent it. Put it back. It's not because it's on sale, mean that it's for you. My, you guys know the story. My dad did that one time. It was a big argument in our household. My dad went out and he saw these suits. And you guys might have heard the story. And it, I have one of these suit stores, like, you know, Men's Warehouse, one of those things. He came up with like six suits. And he's like, he called my mom Wal. He's like, Wal, look at it. I got like six suits. They're a great deal. And you could have seen steam popping out of my mother's ears, like, you know, because we were trying to get out of debt. And he's like, no, Wal, no, I'm telling you, just, it's a great deal. It's a great deal. I'll just keep one and return the five. That was my plan, which really was his plan. He went back there like, all sales are final. There was no eBay to sell those suits on. I think when he died, he was buried. Well, no, he wasn't buried in one of those suits. If you didn't save for it, it generally means you didn't plan for it. Put it back. Number two is this. Save before living. And I'm hammering that. Don't compromise your savings for the gratification of today. There's something called the time value of money that says a dollar today a dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow. Because the dollar today, you actually can invest it, and then tomorrow you'll have $1.10 for that dollar. And then you can take out the dollar and keep the 10 cents. As long as you can delay a purchase, you know, delay it, save before living. And the third one is prioritize godliness. Prioritize godliness. And that's really the kingdom agenda. In essence, those last two are really give, save, live. Give, save, live. Give, save, live. The thing is that godliness with contentment, the bottom two, with the first one, is great gain. Another version says great wealth. If you can do these three things, and the budget that I kind of template that I have, you will be chilling and being able to invest as much as you want to in ministry and in kingdom agenda, and you live in debt free. And you know what happens? You don't even have to save like you used to before, because your money is saving itself. You're generating so much return on your investment that you can actually give more and live more than you ever could doing that. Prioritize godliness. You know, as the praise team is coming out and they're going to sing a song in a second, I just want to tell you that this message probably hit some people in some different places. You know, and I want to tell you this morning that if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling defeated, and if you're feeling depleted about your economic or about your financial situation, God's calling you to a different place. He's calling you to a place of joy. And the funny thing is that the Lord is calling us to that place irrespective of our circumstance. I was going to say irregardless, but irregardless is not a word. Our joy comes with a relationship with Jesus that transcends, but it's really, it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, the song that we did earlier, which is what I'm going to ask them to close with. The song is In the River. Let's see if they're going to do that song there. It's that song is really a reminder, and I'm going to read some words from the song, but it's a reminder to set our minds on Christ. And not to let the distractions take over concentration from on Christ. Our objective is to set our mind on Christ, because godliness is number one. With contentment is great gain. And the Lord is calling us to this place that where we really need to be, and that really comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. The stuff that I'm asking you to do is like almost like it's like so hard to do. And when you're going through, you're like, oh, it's so tight, 10-20 rest. Oh my God, can I wait 20 years before? And Jesus says, your joy actually comes from me. When you get that right, you realize that this is nothing, even though it's hard. And this song, "In the River," is a reminder to do that. It's a reminder to set our minds on Christ and let the distractions melt away. It's a reminder to concentrate on worshiping the King of Kings, regardless of your circumstances, so that, regardless of your circumstances, you can be free. You can be freed in Christ and be filled with joy. And you can be like Paul and Silas in prison, just rejoicing in prison. And you know, as Christians, that's what really attracts people. It brings people into a place. And too many times people see us as Christians and they don't see the fact that despite our circumstances, we're living joyous. I'm broke as a church mouse. I'm broke, but I'm smiling. I got this joy inside of us, and that joy comes from Christ. And that's the first thing people should really encounter in us, you know? That's why I love this song. It's a verse in this song. It's a line. It says, "Break open the prison doors. Break open the prison doors of your financial bondage and set us as captains. Set all the captives free. Spring up a well. Spring up a well. Spring up a well and we come alive in the river." And that river is symbolic of the Holy Spirit that we come alive in. So I'm going to ask that you just stand with us. Our service is really over, but it's not over, because you may have business to do with Jesus. It's not over because you may be suffering and in bondage. It's not over until it's set free inside of you, until you can be singing with the joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if that's you today, we'd love to be able to chat with you about this. Let's just pray. And we're going to go out celebrating. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that despite the circumstance that we have, Lord, you have set us free. Set us free, and who the sun sets free is free indeed. And Lord, you want to release us from this financial bondage. Lord, I pray that we'll accept this as we leave this place. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.